Shalom, today's daf yomi is Bechoros daf chaf aleph Bechoros 21, and we learned in the Mishnah previously that the sign that a sheep or a goat, a behemah daka, has given birth to an animal, and therefore it's not, the next issue of the animal is not going to be considered to be a Bechor, a firstborn, is if the animal has an issue which the Mishnah refers to as tinuf, which we've translated as soiling. So the Gemara explains, what is this tinuf, and who establishes that the animal had such an issue, and therefore the laws of firstborn will no longer subsequently apply. So says the Gemara, hechi dami tinuf, what's considered tinuf? So says Rava, kida amri ravasa ditsalta, and Rashi translates salta as a place, even though not all the commentaries explain it that way. That Rabbi Yaakov Emden, for example, translates salta as boiled skin, but if we adopt Rashi's translation, is kida'ami rafted salta, like the shepherds of this place called Salta say that what is tinuf? Atzar chiyusa, that when the womb has contracted and therefore the fetus that is inside it has shriveled up. So this has, when it makes an issue, when the animal puts forward an issue, something from its womb which was contracted and shriveled up, and that is going to be considered to be like the animal had a tinuf, and therefore subsequent to that, the laws, anything born, the laws of firstborn don't apply to it. Whereas Shmuel says, no, ba bue de dama, it's when the animal issues something which is like bubbles of blood that it issues forth from its womb, that is going to be considered like tinuf, and therefore the laws of firstborn don't apply. And says the Gemara, v'tzarach ar oso l'chacham, and you need to take this thing, and the Rambam understands this, that this applies both to the position of Rava and to the position of Shmuel. You need to take this tinuf and show it to a chacham, which is usually translated as a scholar, and they'll determine whether or not this is from a fetus or not, and therefore whether or not the subsequent issue is going to be exempt from the firstborn. So the Gemara asks chacham. The Gemara assumes that a chacham means showing it to a Torah scholar. The Gemara says chacham anayada. Why are you going to take this issue from this animal, this fetus, or presumable fetus, and then show it to a Torah scholar? What does a Torah scholar know about this? A Torah scholar doesn't know anything about fetuses. Chacham minayada. So Amar Rav Papa, no, we're not talking about a chacham. Doesn't mean a Torah scholar here. It doesn't mean a Talmud chacham, or it doesn't mean an academic. It means roe chacham. It means showing it to a shepherd. And the shepherd is going to determine whether or not this is really an embryo or not. We see from here a very important point. The Gemara is being very explicit that just because you know Torah or just because you're a scholar doesn't mean that you really have expertise over in an area that's not yours. That in this circumstance, the Gemara is very clear that the expertise lies with the shepherds and not with the Torah scholar. So says Rav Chista, Harei Amru. So Rav Chista says, behold, we have taught, the sages have taught, that what is the time that it takes for a fetus to be considered a minimal fetus within a human being and therefore considered to be a fetus? Yitzira Savlad Beisha, the formation of this fetus in a woman is going to be considered from the moment of conception until it's called a fetus, arba'im yom, and it's going to be 40 days, and only if for the lack of a better word, I'm going to use the word abortion. Only if an abortion comes after that is it going to be considered like it was a fetus that was born. So only if the fetus is issued after that point is it going to be considered like a fetus that's come out of the mother. But before that, The anything that comes forward, we're going to say, is exempt from the laws of firstborn. But after that, it's going to be considered like it's just water. But after that, we're going to consider it like it is something relating to a fetus, and therefore the mother will be, and the fetus will, the subsequent issues will be exempt from the laws of firstborn. So therefore, since we've established that by Rav Chista, if that's the case, by Behema Bekama, I should just mention that these 40 days is very relevant to a point at which we say that perhaps before that point, since the baby is not considered a fetus, there are many who argue that therefore the laws of abortion don't apply in a Jewish baby or a Jewish fetus prior to 40 days. But we'll leave that for another topic, because by Rav Chista said, "Behema bekama." Well, how long does it take in an animal for this issue, for this fetus to be formed? So says Rav Papa Rabbi, "Lav hainu tziiri." Isn't this what Ziiri taught, who said, "Ein tinuf pachas mishloshim yom," that he says that this soiling cannot take place before 30 days. So don't we see see from here that the soiling will takes a minimum of 30 days, and prior to that, it's not going to be considered like a fetus at all? Gemara says, no, that is not the case. Hahula kabalit, when Ze'iri said that there is no tina for less than 30 days, that just means that after the soiling, the mother is not going to receive a male for 30 days. That means to say, until 30 days, we don't have to be concerned that she's going to mate again. But there's no proof from there, there's no indication of how long it takes in an animal for a fetus to form from the moment of conception. We see from this idea that the creation of a fetus will take, in a woman, takes 40 days. This idea of Arba'im Yom, the sages say, actually relates to a concept that we say that the Torah says that lashes are Arba'im, that you get 40 lashes. It says in Deuteronomy, Kedeirish Asob Mispar Arba'im Yakenu, and it's a concept that it lists it as 40, even though we know that you will actually only get 39 lashes. And the sages say that we connect this 40 in the Torah to the 40 of the days of creation, that when a person has done something wrong, that it's almost like we've sinned to such a degree that we're worthy of getting lashes. It's almost like we're undoing the very reason why we were created. We're created to serve Hashem with righteousness. And if we're acting this way, then we've undone the creation. But rather than allow ourselves to be punished irredeemably, the lashes comes and recreates us. We've done tshuva, we've repented, and now we're able to return to the status we were before we sinned.